SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
I tuoi nuovi clienti stanno ascoltando questo spot pubblicitario in questo preciso momento. Cosa diresti loro della tua attività se potessi farlo? L'SBS è l'emittente più affidabile di tutta l'Australia. I nostri ascoltatori sono fedeli, altamente partecipi e da sempre sostengono una miriade di aziende locali. Fai che la tua sia la prossima. Offriamo pacchetti pubblicitari per aziende di ogni dimensione. Il nostro team esperto di vendita ti guiderà lungo il processo di una favolosa campagna pubblicitaria. Portaci tu il tuo spot oppure incarica il nostro team di produzione di realizzartene uno in una delle nostre 68 lingue. Cosa aspetti? Inizia oggi stesso la conversazione con il tuo nuovo pubblico. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Italian cuisine is the world's most popular and also one of Australia's favourites. Made at home in our kitchens, savoured in a ristorante, or simply enjoyed on Instagram. No doubt, Italian food is a celebrity. But there are also regional specialties, best discovered and loved right there. Perhaps not far from the lands that produce their ingredients. And then there are others. Dishes that are only shared in the family or in the most traditional restaurants, which do not often end up on Instagram. They're rare, confined to small areas, sometimes illegal, but on the other hand, they're beloved. Truly part of some Italians' identity. It's just that no one else knows about this food. My name is Massimiliano Gugole, and in this SBS Italian podcast series, I'll tell you the story of six dishes.
A little bit disgusting, actually.
I like it too much.
Oh my God, yuck! Delicious.
Ugly, perhaps, but that offer an unprecedented portrait of Italy, Italian cuisine, and the love of Italians for food. Let's take a closer look at these ugly ducklings of Italian cuisine. Rome, the capital of Italy from a political and cultural point of view, but also a standout from a culinary point of view. In addition to carbonara, so mistreated in the world with a thousand variations, there is a tradition that for some is perhaps a bit disturbing. That comes from the past, when people had to make the most of what was even in the past considered little more than waste.
Pagliata. Okay, that looks nice.
Looks delicious.
It looks like pasta.
Would you have it?
Oh, depending on what it contains.
Oh.
Intestine, sorry.
Oh my God.
Ooh, right. Okay, no, not anymore.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I'd rather eat my foot.
My partner today in this virtual journey through the Eternal City is Anastasia Zolotarev, cook, recipe developer and tester, food writer and content creator, who you may also remember from MasterChef Australia 2016. Hi, Anastasia, and welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Nice to have you here with us, speaking about a very Roman dish. Would you like to start by explaining what it is? Pagliata, what is it?
Yeah, so pagliata, it's a classic Roman dish. It's basically made with the intestines of an unweaned calf, so basically just fed only on its mother's milk. The intestines are cooked on a basis, basically just like a sofrito or simply just some onion. And then you've got some wine and some...
But you said that, sorry, you said that about the intestines in a very casual way. That's something that not everybody would have.
I know. I think I'm just used to... My background is Eastern European, so I'm used to trying and eating things like ox tongue, liver. I mean, I'm always up to try something. And this was definitely a unique dish to try that my Roman friends introduced me to.
As you said, the calf needs to be very, very young and fed only with milk.
Yeah, so it's not fed any grass, it's not fed any grains, it's basically just specifically harvested in that way. So you actually have a little bit of the milk inside the intestines, which is critical. I know it's quite interesting because we do add sometimes milk to a red sauce, don't we, when we make a...
Sure.
So I was thinking that's actually... I never thought of it that way, but it's actually kind of make more sense.
I don't think it's the same thing, but anyway. what does it look like when you have the dish? Is it like horrific or is it like fairly normal?
Yeah, well, look, it actually is hidden in a rich red sauce. So it's not like you're eating the offal plain, like grilled, which it used to be actually in Rome. But I was invited into the kitchen of the restaurant and it looked great. Like, I think when you eat in context, you eat in a specific place with good company. It's a bit of a different experience. I can't imagine having it here in Sydney, but it's cooked in a red sauce. It's served with rigatoni pasta. So it is not a strong, just pure dish of intestines. And it's a good introduction to it.
What does it taste like?
Look, it has its own particular taste. It's hard to explain. Because the intestines are cut into 20 centimeter length rings, they basically almost like resemble calamari, but it does have its own flavor. And it's interesting because my Roman friends, you know, they were getting married 2 days later and they took me to this place and I was so excited about this particular dish and I had to try it. And they absolutely love it. It's like such a classic for them. I think I had a pretty good introduction to the dish because I know in some restaurants and some chefs serve it like a 50-50 ratio of the rings to the rigatoni pasta, but this restaurant in particular was a little bit less. So I believe it was a bit of a soft introduction to it.
Okay, a gentle introduction to paella.
And it helps with lots of pecorino romano cheese, so which is really sharp, it's really salty, so it does balance it all out.
How is paella used? Just on pasta or can it be eaten somehow else?
Because this was originally a meat scrap, so it's from in Rome, they used to have butchers in the center and they didn't want to throw it away. And so they used to grill it, like simply grill it. And a little bit of the milk from the inside of the intestine comes out and makes a sauce with some oil. I haven't tried that, but apparently you can still find it around the city in specific places. Either that or in this red stew-like sauce with the pasta is, I think it's the two main ways. But I think some chefs also serve it on some bread, some fresh bread in the sauce, which would also be interesting to try.
Even Roman paella had some problems with the law, like other dishes featured in this series. Due to the mad cow emergency from 2001 to 2015, Romans had to give up this traditional dish, turning to an alternative version that uses the lamb intestines. Can paella be made here in Australia?
I've never seen intestines for sale available in butchers, like just in your general butcher. I haven't seen it. But perhaps you put it on order in advance. I believe that in Italy, they actually specifically harvest this type of product, whereas here, our agricultural farming practices are different. So it would be quite difficult to find calves that are just fed on their mother's milk. So that in itself, it's quite difficult to find that product here. But maybe if there was a bigger demand, maybe if people started asking for it, but I haven't seen it. Maybe a small farmer, micro-scale farmer would have it or would make it possible to harvest, but I'm not sure.
Did you know it's been illegal for a while in Italy?
Yes, yeah, because of mad cow disease or something.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so I heard that they used lamb instead, the intestines of lamb.
So that could be an alternative here in Australia, perhaps.
Yeah, actually. That's true.
You said you've tried it when you visited Rome a couple of years ago. You've tried paella. Yes. What's your memory of that moment?
Oh, that was such a special moment, especially now, since we haven't been back for so long. Me and my husband, we flew into Rome to go to a friend's wedding, a dear friend of ours. And they were getting married in the center. And 2 days before, it was just this wonderful. We had this wonderful time with them and they took us to this restaurant. It's a trattoria on the outskirts of Rome. It's called La Nuova Cantinetta. Excuse my pronunciation.
Very good.
And they kind of serve just, it's like this classic sort of underground restaurant. You walk down the stairs and there's a tiny little kitchen and there's this woman. She's just cooking all these incredible traditional Roman classics like cacio e pepe, carbonara, amatriciana. And also a really interesting fish dish with broccoli and pasta. And it was lunchtime and we sat down and had a beautiful long lunch with our friends. And we just tried all these dishes, including the rigatoni con la paella and had some wine. And it was great. But I think that's why, you know, I believe context and the time and place and who you're with is so important when you're trying unique dishes that you're not used to eating or that you haven't grown up with. I love that moment. And I think about it now. It's a great memory. And I can't wait to actually go back there and go to this restaurant, go to the trattoria.
And try paella again, or once was enough?
I would definitely try it again. Absolutely.
Okay, Anastasia, let's jump into the recipe if you like. What do we need to make rigatoni con la paella?
To make rigatoni con la paella, you need to have a little bit of olive oil, onion, carrot, celery. The carrot and celery is optional, but onion seems to be a constant in this dish. Then you need some already cleaned and skinned veal intestines. So it has to be intestines from an unweaned calf. And then you need some white wine and some tomato sauce, like passata. And then if you want, you can use some herbs. I have seen oregano, mint, some green chili being used around. So you can add any of those. And then, of course, you need the rigatoni and you need the pecorino romano cheese.
Okay, quite challenging to recreate this in Australia. Let's say someone will be able to do it. How do we do it?
It's actually quite simple. It follows a very similar approach to other Italian red sauce dishes. The intestines come in like a really long strip. You need to cut it into smaller pieces, approximately 20 centimetres long. Then you need to use a piece of string to tie tightly one end of the intestines along with the other into a ring. So almost like the shape of a calamari ring. I think that kind of reflects the size and the look that you want. And then you end up with several rings of these, which basically the whole theory behind that is it keeps a little bit of the milk inside without coming out too much, or it comes out slower. Or you can just braid the ends together just several times to keep most of the milk inside. And then you just need to do a sofrito. So you want to dice some onions, some carrots, some celery. Heat a large pan, cook that off in some olive oil, cook stirring just for a few minutes until it's aromatic. Add the intestines in and cook that for a few minutes because you want that to combine with a sofrito and a little bit of the juice kind of just come out. And then you just basically add the rest of the ingredients. So the wine, the passata, a splash of water, season really well. Add your herbs if you're using them. So add your oregano or your mint if you want to. And then cover with a lid and you just cook it on a really low heat for a couple of hours. So very much like a stew. When it's nearly ready, just cook off your rigatoni and then grate some cheese. And once the actual intestines are finished cooking in the sauce, you do want to remove the string. So you just need to take the rings out, remove the string, and then you can either keep them whole or slice them. So it's up to you how you want to do that. And then, serve it all together. Toss the rigatoni through the sauce and top it with plenty of pecorino romano.
Sounds good. Was that the first time you heard about paella when your friends took you there?
Yeah, it was on the spot. I mean, I had no idea where and what we were going. My friend Jacopo was like, we're going here. You have to try this. And yeah, I was like, I had no idea what I was about to eat.
So how did the tradition of using the less noble parts of an animal become one of the most distinctive features of Roman cuisine? I talked about it with a true Roman, Paolo Nocella, a former MP at the South Australian Parliament, who took me for a walk through Testaccio, the neighbourhood in Rome where the old slaughterhouse once was. The building is still there, but it's now a museum of contemporary art, quite a change from what it once was.
The term paella, of course, is part of the colloquial terminology used in Rome to indicate a great delicacy derived from the long extended tradition that sees offal has been an important part of the Roman cuisine.
Why is that?
Well, in the beginning, it was a cheap cut, traditionally called the fifth fourth. In other words, if you cut a bisque in four parts, two forequarters and two hindquarters, then what's inside the offal is the fifth quarter, if you like. And that includes all the various organs, from brain to tongue to heart to lung to liver, kidneys and so on. And so traditionally it was cheap and easily affordable. But this is the beginning. Eventually, the different ways of serving this various type of offal had become a feature, a real characteristic of the Roman cuisine, which still exists today to some extent, because unfortunately we learned that offals are not particularly good for cholesterol.
Is it true that the part you mentioned, this fifth quarter, was donated to the people who were working in the abattoir in Rome?
I believe so in the beginning, not so much now. In fact, it's become quite an expensive dish and not particularly easy to find either. The area of the ancient Roman abattoir, which is called Testaccio, had just around the main square in front of the main entrance, a series of restaurants, expensive restaurants, specializing in the various preparations of offals. Now that the abattoir has moved to another location, there's still at least half a dozen of these particular restaurants.
Have you had paiata? Have you cooked paiata?
No, I haven't cooked it, but I had it at home when my mother could not fend off any longer the request of my father, who was very keen. and so we had it at home, and that's where I learned that it is essential to eat this dish when it's freshly made and hot. Because unfortunately, if you let it get cold, the milk inside the intestine doesn't keep the nice flavor, but in fact becomes a rather off-putting.
Talking about off-putting, we talked about this rather casually, but you know, lots of people who are listening will be a little bit put off by, you know, the idea of eating intestines and inside there's this milky substance. Did that ever trouble you? Did that ever give you any problems, or was it normal? Is it normal, so normal in Rome?
No problems at all. It's just a part of the rich tapestry that constitute the Roman cuisine.
What do you think Australians would think about this dish?
I'm pretty sure that the regulations governing butchery and the trade of offals does not allow the commercialization of the trade in very young animals. There's a limit to what, I mean, they're not usually slaughtered that young. In the same way that the other hero dish of the Roman cuisine, abbacchio al forno, abbacchio meaning a very young lamb, it's impossible to find because the regulation don't allow the slaughtering of animals that young.
Hi, my name is Anastasia Zolotarev, and today we'll be talking about rigatoni con la paiata.
One thing we haven't mentioned, that your husband is also Italian. Does he ask you sometimes to recreate dishes that to other guests or other people may look a bit strange or weird because they come from the Italian tradition?
He comes from Northern Italy, and he definitely asked me to recreate a lot of dishes, like mushroom dishes, heavy meat dishes, but everything from that region, Lombardia, it's a different kind of cooking, and they use different kind of cuts, much more approachable, I would say, but in Rome, I found it's definitely, they have a unique palate. They have a unique history with lots of these particularly interesting dishes. Yeah, look, when he asked me to recreate an Italian dish, it's something using mushrooms or something much more approachable and common in Sydney to eat.
You also have a very popular Instagram account. So what do you think of the theme of our series? You know, is it okay for food sometimes to be ugly?
Oh, absolutely. There's so much I could say about this. We were brought up in specific, you know, locations around the world. For example, I grew up in Sydney, and we've been so lucky, I feel, in the last decade to have so many incredible food cultures thrive and evolve from different communities that have brought their food traditions into our city. And I think it's incredible to learn from them, the techniques, the reasons why they use specific ingredients, and the history behind it. You know, it might be a necessity, or for example, I mean, it's particularly in this dish, rigatoni con la paiata, it's a classical Roman dish that they use because it was a scrap and it was, you know, popular in the lower economic class. And I think so many dishes, so many incredible, unique plates of food. They unfortunately do die over time. Like, they're not become as popular because our eating habits, our cooking habits change, the environment changes, politics, everything around us constantly changing. So accessibility, how we cook, what we eat, it's always evolving and changing. I think that it's incredible to look at these dishes, try them, because they tell a story, they tell a part of a culture. And that's the main reason why I always stay open to these kind of particular dishes, because I think that they were created for a reason, and it's always interesting to try and learn about it and learn the story behind them.
So even like it happens with people, looks are not very important or so important even with food.
Absolutely, because, you know, I was thinking about how I've eaten, we think, like, we classify specific cuts of meat as normal or common, but we only do that because of their availability, because their accessibility, and because that's what we know and that's what we were given and what we provided based on our surrounding and the environment and culture. So I think that if we had a slightly different scenario, like, let's say, a difficult economy, a time during the economy, we would be eating differently. So those are the things that create our norm and our perception of what we see as ugly or beautiful or not, or delicious or not delicious. We resonate, we connect different food with different moments in time, with different moments in history. And I think that's quite unique in itself. And that's what makes food and I believe trying things really interesting.
As you call yourself an adventurous eater, would you like to confess what's the ugliest or weirdest things you've eaten?
Yeah, actually. I mean, I can't believe I ate this, but I wanted to try it. It wasn't in Italy, actually. It was in Belarus, which is next to Russia and Ukraine. And I was staying on a farm. And there was a lovely family. They were cooking with some interesting ingredients and cuts of meat. And they offered for us to actually try, you know, it's a farm next to a village, regional Belarus, really hard to access. And they made some fried lamb testicles for us. We had that with them. So basically they invited us to the dinner table.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was the extreme that I tried. And my poor cousin was with me because he's in Belarus and he's this 18-year-old boy.
Okay. How was the experience?
Oh, look, I had a little bit, but it was, yeah, the texture was too much. It was,
even for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, but they, you know, that's what they eat and that's normal. And so I couldn't be disrespectful or anything like that. I appreciate it for what it was. You know, they're not going to throw anything out. But other than that, I eat things like ox tongue, which is basically a Russian dish, which is like boiled tongue, and then you slice it and you have it with mustard. Again, to my Australian friends, they would freak out if they had that.
Sure.
Yeah, but honestly, for me, that's like, oh, you know, what's the difference between having some fried eye fillet or something like fancy? You know, it's just a perception in a way.
What was your immediate impression, like your first impression when you cut through the paella and you saw that, you know, that curd, that milky thing coming out? Were you disgusted? Were you intrigued? What was your like reaction?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think I was a little bit taken aback, but I tried not to think too much about it. You know, just go for it, eat it. Especially because my Roman friends were raving about it. You know, they were so excited for me to eat it. So
Peer pressure.
I had to enjoy it. I didn't have a choice.
Thank you very much to Anastasia Zolotarev, cook, recipe developer and tester, food writer and content creator, for walking with me through the streets of Rome and this very typical neighborhood, Testaccia, to explore the Roman tradition in the kitchen. Thanks, Anastasia.
Thank you so much.
In the next episode, come with me to Naples, Napoli, and taste blood in a pudding. Follow the Ugly Ducklings of Italian Cuisine in your favorite podcast app or in the SBS radio app. This episode was hosted and produced by me, Massimiliano Gugole, with support from SBS Italian executive producer Magica Fossati, as well as Max Gosford, Rachel Sibley, Caroline Gates, and John Dexter. A big thank you to the SBS Food team for their support as well. For more SBS Italian content, go to sbs.com.au/Italian.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.